Because I had the I'm making this up tool and was starting to put what I had learned researching Rising Strong into practice, Steve and I were able to take an angry almost fight during an extremely stressful time and turn it into a moment of connection and trust. As we start to integrate what we learn from the Learning to Rise process into our lives, we get better at rumbling. In our office, we probably check the stories we're making up with each other 10 times a day. Now it's shortened to, I'm making up that they're still holding the red line because their lawyers haven't reviewed it yet, or I'm making up that no one is going to want to sit through this presentation on Friday afternoon. It's so much more honest, vulnerable, and disarming than making proclamations that are really just conjecture. Personally, I found that sometimes the Learning to Rise process takes 5 minutes to get from face down in the arena to the delta to key learnings, but sometimes it takes 5 days, and for the big life stuff, it can take months. The more you practice rumbling with vulnerability, the better and faster you get. When we own a story and the emotion that fuels it, we get to simultaneously acknowledge that something was hard while taking control of how that hard thing is going to end. We change the narrative. When we deny a story and when we pretend we don't make up stories, the story owns us. It drives our behavior and it drives our cognition. And then it drives even more emotions until it completely owns us. The story rumble. One of the most useful applications of the Learning to Rise process is how we can use it when an organization or a group within an organization experiences a conflict or a failure or a fall. We call this the story rumble. Everyone who listens to this book and puts the work into practice will have the basic tools for the story rumble. If necessary, you can even train people to facilitate the process or bring in one of our certified Dare to Lead facilitators to help. We've used this in the wake of failure to understand and address growing frustration and resentment on a team and across teams, and most recently, to get to the bottom of a major project stall. This is the Story Rumble process. Bring as many of the courage-building tools, skills, and practices that we've discussed into the room as you can, especially shared language, curiosity, grounded confidence, your integrity, your values, and the trust you're building. You'll need them all, and you will marvel at how they pay off. There are 15 steps to this process. I'm going to read them to you. Number one, set the intention for the rumble and make sure that you get clear about why you're rumbling. Number two, what does everyone in the room need to engage in the process with an open heart and mind? Container building is important, even if there's established trust in the room, set a container for this process. Number three, what's going to get in the way of you showing up? Write it down, share it. Number four, make a commitment to show up in ways that support the process and avoid ways that move you away from trust building. Number five, everyone share a permission slip, which is more container building and trust building. Number six, check in. What emotions are people experiencing? Let's just put it out there and start naming some emotions. Number seven, what do we need to get curious about? Building more trust and grounded confidence by staying curious. Number eight, what are the SFDs in the room? Now, the turn and learn is very helpful here. These are vulnerable rumbles, and having someone with more influence go first versus having everyone write their thought down or their SFD down and then put them up on a wall at the same time can radically change the outcome for the worse. Number nine, what do our SFDs tell us about our relationships, about our communication, about leadership, about the culture, about what's working and what's not working? Stay curious. Learn to resist needing to know everything. Number 10, where do we need to rumble? What lines of inquiry do we need to open to better understand what's really happening and to reality check the conspiracy theories and confabulations? Number 11, what's the delta between all of our SFDs and all of the new information that we're gathering in this meeting right now? Number 12, what are we learning? What are the key learnings? Number 13, what are next steps? How do we act on the key learnings? 14, how do we integrate these learnings into the culture and leverage them as we work on new things? What is one thing each of us will take responsibility for embedding? Number 15, when is the circle back? Let's regroup so we can check back in and hold ourselves and one another accountable for the learning and the embedding. Again, own the story and you get to write the ending. Deny the story and it owns you. Last, the revolution. I'm not afraid of the word revolution. I'm afraid of a world that's becoming less courageous and authentic. I've always believed that in a world full of critics, cynics, and fearmongers, taking off the armor and rumbling with vulnerability, living into our values, braving trust with open hearts, and learning to rise so we can reclaim authorship of our own stories and lives is the revolution. Courage is rebellion. In fact, in 2010, I wrote, "Revolution might sound a little dramatic, but in this world, choosing authenticity and worthiness is an absolute act of resistance. Choosing to live in love with our whole hearts is an act of defiance. You're going to confuse, piss off, and terrify lots of people, including yourself. One minute, you'll pray that the transformation stops, and the next minute, you'll pray that it never ends. You'll also wonder how you can feel so brave and so afraid at the exact same time. At least that's how I feel most of the time. Brave, afraid, and very, very alive. If you asked me to boil down everything I've learned from this research, I would tell you these three things. Number one, the level of collective courage in an organization is the absolute best predictor of that organization's ability to be successful in terms of its culture, to develop leaders, and to meet its mission. Number two, the greatest challenge in developing brave leaders is helping them acknowledge and answer their personal call to courage. Courage can be learned if we're willing to put down the armor and pick up shared language, tools, and skills that we need for rumbling with vulnerability, living into our values, braving trust, and learning to rise. Number three, we fail the minute we let someone else define success for us. Like many of you, I spent too many years taking on projects and even positions just to prove I could do it. I was driven by a definition of success that didn't reflect who I am, what I want, or what brings me joy. It was simply accomplish, acquire, collapse, repeat. There was very little joy, very little meaning, and tons of exhaustion and resentment. In The Gifts of Imperfection, I wrote about the importance of a joy and meaning list and the power of actually thinking through these questions. When things are going really well in our family, what does it look like? What brings us the most joy? When are we in our zone? For my family, the answers included things like sleep, working out, healthy food, cooking, time off, weekends away, going to church, being present with the kids, a sense of control over our money, date nights, meaningful work that doesn't consume us, time to piddle, time with family and close friends, giving back, and time just to hang out, like real white space. What was shocking for me and Steve was comparing this list to how we had defined success. There was no time for joy and meaning because we were too busy achieving, and we were achieving so that we could buy more joy and meaning. But those require time, and time, that most precious unrenewable resource, is not for sale. Make your joy and meaning list and make sure that you use it as you define success for yourself. I stray from my list way too often, and I'm still adding to it. It's a lifelong practice. But it's been the best filter for making choices when bright and shiny opportunities come my way. Now I can ask myself if taking something on moves me closer to what brings me joy and meaning. This alone is a revolutionary act. As you think about your own path to daring leadership, remember Joseph Campbell's wisdom. The cave you fear to enter holds the treasure you seek. Own the fear, find the cave, and write a new ending for yourself, for the people you're meant to serve and support, and for your culture. Choose courage over comfort, choose whole hearts over armor. And choose the great adventure of being brave and afraid at the exact same time. This is Brené Brown. I really hope you've enjoyed this unabridged production of Dare to Lead. Brave work, tough conversations, whole hearts. This program was produced and directed by Karen Jakonski. Text copyright 2018 by Brené Brown. Production copyright 2018, Penguin Random House, LLC. All rights reserved.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.